There's not a friend like the lowly Jesus. No, not one. No, not one. None else can heal all our souls' diseases. No, not one. No, not one. Jesus knows all about our struggles. He will guide till the day is done. There's not a friend like the lowly Jesus. No, not one. No, not one. And that's the truth. There is not a friend like Jesus, one who stands beside you through thick and thin, one who's there when mother's gone, when father's gone, when there's no one else, he's there. And this day, Lord, we reach out. Father, we reach out because there are those here in the hearing of my voice that don't know you. And we know that you're coming back soon. And so, Father, we pray for a wake-up call. A wake-up call that will awaken lives, quicken us, that will give us a desire to respond to your word. We pray for a wake-up call that would help us realize how important it is to spend time with you every day. We pray for a wake-up call that will help us to set an example before those around us, because the world is dying. People are losing their lives every day. And we're standing back in a state of stupor. Father, we don't want to be in a state of stupor anymore. So wake us up this morning, Lord. Give us desire to go out and share the gospel, even though we might look like a fool. Give us that desire, because, Lord, it's that foolishness that saves souls. Wake us up. Help us to realize that when we come to the house of worship, it's not a place of a player, but it's a place of prayer, a place where we should give honor and glory to you, that we would put everything else down and make sure that we do the primary service of worshiping you, Lord, of seeking the truth in your word. Lord, wake us up. And we'll give you praise, we'll give you glory, we'll give you all the honor that's due your name. For we ask it in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This morning, and I ask you to bear with me, a little hot today. I've been kind of warm all morning. It's not because I'm such an exciting preacher, I'm not. The word is exciting, and I hope you can get excited just as Paul got excited. But I want to talk about a passion for the madness. A passion for the madness. What is that madness? That madness is the preaching of the gospel. If you don't believe it, turn to, just have you do just a couple quick things I was looking at earlier today. Turn to 1 Corinthians 1:25. 1 Corinthians 1:25. And then let's find 1 Corinthians 9:16, and we'll move forward from there. Sorry about that. 1 Corinthians 1:25 said, because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. See, the world looks at this thing called the preaching of the gospel, and they see it as foolishness. It's foolishness to the world because they can't comprehend what it is that we're doing. When we share the gospel, they're looking, who are these people? Some of them think we're fanatics, and if you look at how some people act, they are pretty fanatical. But it's a madness, and let's look at 1 Corinthians 9:16, and especially for them preachers, though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of, for necessity is laid upon me, yea, woe unto me, if I preach not the gospel. This is a madness. I remember when I was called to preach, I'm like, you got to be kidding. I'm going to go. I look at these guys on Sunday and they look like crazy men. Some of them shouting, some of them screaming, some of them standing up like they're in a funeral. Very stoic. And you think, this is, How can you take a couple verses and get that out of it? It was just unbelievable to me. I could not comprehend. I did not want to comprehend. But you got to have a passion for it. And when we look at this text, Paul had a passion for this madness of preaching the gospel. Because if he didn't, he wouldn't have gone through what he went through. And you'll see some patterns in here. And it all starts with the preaching. But the first P that we want, and I've got three P's. I've got a bunch of P's to go up under, but I got three P's. The first P is persecution. And you can put that at number one on your page. And I don't have a bunch of sub points, but I have some scriptural references I'll do along the way. The second P is persistence. Now, does everybody know how to spell persistence? Little kids, if you don't know how to spell, well, let's start from the beginning. The first P, P-E-R-S-E-C-U-T-I-O-N. The second P, perseverance, P-E-R, S-I-S-T-E-N-C-E. The third P, preaching. P-R-E-A-C-H-I-N-G. Now, I'll start with a simple rule. I learned three rules when I first started preaching. Well, actually, a couple rules. The first one is the three B's. Okay? The three B's were be still, be prompt, and be seated. I haven't figured out how to be still yet. But I've learned how to be prompt and be seated. That took a little work. And then there are the four S's. And the brother told me how to get the mic up today. They are stand up, speak up, shut up, and sit down. And the reason being because sometimes you can drag things on so long that the message is lost. And my goal is not to lose a message, but it's hopefully that we'll find what we have here. So let's start with, so you begin to notice this pattern in Paul's life. Let's start with the first P. Now, guys, let me explain something to you. I don't know how much a person can take. I look at Paul and I think, this brother has something going on. Because he took a lot of it. He took a lot of persecution. Now, you got to understand what his profession was before he became a Christian, was he persecuted the church. Yeah, let's say we were in Jerusalem about the time in the early part of the beginning of the ADs. And I'm sure they didn't know it like 80s as we do because we readjusted the calendar. But let's say we were some Jewish folk and we had heard about this guy, Jesus. And we believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. And we didn't meet a lot of times outward because we knew that there are folk who didn't like us. So here's Paul. He's just kind of sniffing around. I'm sure he's got his agents and they're going around and they're checking because they heard there's a little group of Jews meeting over down the corner of Park and Franklin. And they claimed to know Jesus. So Paul would go in and he would deliver them up to be killed. Matter of fact, at the stoning of Stephen, Paul was standing there holding the coats. And I can imagine, get another stone. And they were steady stoning Stephen. Stephen looking up there. And I bet you that affected him. But he was standing there, yeah, we got him. There goes another one of them Jesus fanatics. We got rid of him. And that affected his life. Little did Paul know that what you dish out sometime comes back. And I often use that in teaching kids. You need to understand. The scripture says, be not deceived. God would not be mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. So when you giving your parents nightmares, oh my God. Just think, one day you might have a kid. And your kids might give you nightmares worse than your parents. Because you know what? If you plant one seed in the ground, you get more than one seed's worth of goods. You always get a lot more than you put in. So here's Paul, Acts 13:50. And just kind of give you a picture, here he was in a little town. And it says, but the Jews stirred up the devout and honorable women and chief men of the city and raised persecution against Paul and Barnabas and expelled them out of the coast. No matter where he went, no matter what he did about preaching the gospel, there was always somebody to follow him. And I go back and I go over and look at Corinthians, and I kind of look at this probably a little different than most great theologians. And the situation when Paul went up into heaven, boy. Yeah, let me read this. It says, and unless I should be exalted, this first 2 Corinthians 12 says, unless I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. And it goes on, for he sought the Lord. Now, some people believe it was an eye disease, and that may be true. But I also believe there was another issue, because everywhere Paul preached, what happened almost immediately? He'd go into a town and he'd start preaching, and what would happen? The Judaizers would follow. And the Judaizers would follow, and they would jump. Paul was beaten. He was shipwrecked. Everywhere he'd go, as soon as he started preaching, the haters came in, and they was real haters. You know, it's not like today, you know, you disagree with somebody, you hate them. You know, back then, you disagreed, you stoned them. Says one time he was stoned and left for dead. He was constantly persecuted, because what Paul did was, see, he changed ships. You know, people don't like it when you do that today. You change ships. See, Paul was going on the Jew ship, and on the Judaizer ship, he was like, okay, well, let's get this one, let's get that one. But then all of a sudden, he met Christ. And I will tell you, because I deal with a lot of people who tell me they know Christ. If you've met Christ and your life hasn't changed, then you ain't met Jesus. Now, that's kind of harsh to say, because some folk would say you meddling. But if you met Christ, if you claim that you know Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, and things haven't changed in your life, you don't know Jesus. It's not a matter of, well, you know, when I get to this point. No, you just don't know him. Because I will tell you, from day one, when you meet Christ, there will be something different in your life. I remember when I first came to Christ, I mean, I was a good kid. I didn't keep trouble going. I didn't start a bunch of fights. I mean, I had a little attitude problem every now and then. I ride my bike. But I didn't keep stuff going. But I remember my adoptive grandparents lived next door to me. And I came to Christ when I was 21. And I remember going back and talking to Grandma Murray and Grandpa Josh. And she said, my best friend, that something happened to him. And he said, what do you mean? He said, you know, I've known him. He's been a good kid all his life. But there's something happened. He's met Jesus, hasn't he? It's changed his whole temperament. It's changed his personality. It's changed how he acts, how he walks, how he talks. It changes the way he does things. When you meet Jesus, it changes you. And when Paul met Jesus, Paul was no longer about persecuting the church. He was about delivering the church. But what happened? Because he changed ships, then the folks he worked with started persecuting him. And I will tell you, when you get serious about your walk with Jesus, you will lose your friends. And so what if you lost them? God got other friends. I hear people talking about the Christian life is boring. Ain't been a boring day in my life since I came to Christ. Because every time you turn around, somebody wants to challenge you on something. So if you're not grounded in the Word, how are you going to take a stance? Now, you got to understand something. Before Paul came to Christ, Paul was grounded in the Old Testament. When he came to Christ, he was grounded in Jesus, because the Old Testament was about who? Jesus. He didn't miss a step. When he ran into contact with Christ, he saw it and he jumped right on board and he began to do what God called him to do. Lord said to him, Paul, why are you kicking against the goals? Don't you know who I am? And when Paul recognized, he did what he was supposed to do, but immediately. You know, he went up to Jerusalem, and he got to Jerusalem, he wanted to talk about Jesus, and the folks in the church were scared of him. Why? Because before that, he was killing. So we get here in this little town, Paul starts preaching, they get him out of town, because they don't want him in town. They don't want to hear about Jesus. Well, take a look at 14:5. He goes up to Iconium. Says, and when there was assault made both of the Gentiles and also of the Jews with their rulers to use them despicably to stone them, they were aware of it and left out. He goes to another little town. No sooner than he gets in, start preaching the gospel, what happened? When you read the book of Galatians, an interesting situation happens where he had gone and preached the gospel somewhere, and some Judaizers came and said, you know, it's not enough that you believe in Jesus Christ. You must also be circumcised. And you later read about the dogs of concision, because what they did is they messed up a lot of men in the process. They destroyed their ability to reproduce. That's the danger. See, what we think today is what they just talk about, but there are people that will take your life because you want to talk about the gospel. If you don't believe it, talk to some missionaries. Talk to people who've been in certain parts around. Talk to Chinese Christians. See, in America, we get to live it up. We get to live free, but that day is changing, guys. Our society is changing. Our nation is changing. There's going to come a day when you sit and say certain things in the pulpit, your church can be basically shut down by the government. They experienced it, I think, in Canada. I was reading, if you talked about certain issues in Canada, then the federal government will come after your church. It's amazing. They always talk about separation of church and state. And they talk about the rights of people. When do Christians lose their rights? Isn't that amazing? You can talk about everything in school, but you can't talk about Jesus. They want to take under God all the Pledge of Allegiance. They want to tell you what the Constitution... One election made me sit down and read the whole Constitution. And I read it, and nowhere did I see separation of church and state in there. That was the Danbury letters, Thomas Jefferson to the Danbury Baptist Church. Nowhere did I see that, but all of a sudden you've got this thing called separation of church and state. And then there's privacy, and all the stuff that has come up. And so the church is not far from being under persecution in America. Just wait a few years. At Iconium, they came after Paul. Acts 14:22b, I like this because I was going through looking at this persecution. And it says, we must through much tribulation enter into the kingdom of God. If you haven't had any trials, just wait. And I like those people that, you know, they want patience. They want patience. Well, what Scripture teaches that it's, let's see what Scripture teaches. I don't like to quote a lot, but let's see what it says. Everybody wants a little bit of patience. Listen to this. And I'm going to go to Romans 5. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by him unto the grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. But not only so, but we glory in tribulations. Paul says, through much tribulation, we must enter into the kingdom of God. Tribulations also, knowing that tribulations work patience. So when people pray for patience, guess what they get? Trials. Through much tribulation, we must enter into the kingdom of God. It's common biblical logic. If you want patience, you got to go through trials. Tribulations work of patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. So what happened is the more that Paul went through these trials, guess what? The more patient he became. Because how could you be sitting getting ready to have your head chopped off on the block and you still talking about preaching the gospel? That's a madness. And that's a Holy Spirit-filled madness. It's a madness. You're driven by something out of this world to do the preaching of the gospel through all that you go through. So through much tribulation, Paul was persecuted on a regular basis. Now, what most people do when they get persecuted is they quit. Jesus tells the story of the different seeds and how they were planted. And one group was put on rocky ground, and he goes on and explains all what happened. When a few trials came along, they quit. You don't believe it? You see people come up and they want to join the church. Well, they want to join the church. I need to be more proper. But they join the church. And as soon as a struggle hits, they unjoin. They go somewhere else. And they leave. And then you know what they do? They get there and they unjoin again because the struggle came. And before long, guess what? They've walked away from what they said they believed. Paul did not quit when he was persecuted. He was persistent. Persistent. What does it mean to be persistent? I know some of us played sports. I remember when I was playing ball. And if there was something I couldn't do, then I would spend hours on the court working on it till I got it right. So if I wanted a left-hand shot, my coach told me when I was 18, he said, you're too old to develop a left-hand shot. Not only did I take him a left-handed three, I took him a left-handed dunk. And I went in practice and cleaned house on his guards. He never told me I was too old again. You've got to be persistent. You've got to work it. It's the same with the gospel. I talk to the kids often. I'm always saying, read, read, read. Did you read today? No, read. Well, why are you saying read? Because when you read, reading affects your life. When you come to Jesus Christ and you start reading his word, that's when you begin to put on the helmet of salvation. You got the shield of faith, the sword of the spirit. You read and you read and you read and you continue to read and you grow. And guess what? Stuff doesn't shake you as much. So here's Paul. He got out there and he preached. And you know what? He studied. He preached and he studied. He preached and he studied. He prayed and he studied. That's what his life was. When he wasn't making tents, where was Paul? In the word. When he wasn't in the word, he's in the synagogue. Everywhere he'd go, to the synagogue first. And then when that didn't work, he'd go to the next fellowship. And he'd keep going. So here, as you go back, you look at 1349. It says, 50, they stirred up the Jews. And then it says, what? They shook the dust off their feet, went to Iconium, and the disciples were filled with joy with the Holy Spirit. Why? Because he went in and he did what he was supposed to do. Nothing stopped him from his appointed joy. It didn't matter what you put in front of him. Paul was continually persistent, doing exactly what he was called to do. And sometimes we've got to get the mindset to do what we're called to do. You go to Acts 14:5. It says, there's a salt made on. And you go to verse 7. It says, and there they preached the gospel. Did he stop because he got stoned? No, he got up. Did he stop because they came in to create an argument? No, he kept talking. I like what he did. It says in one place he came and they were arguing. He held up his hand. And I can imagine doing the hand signals. Okay. And he did the hand signal and then everything got quiet. And then he began to preach the gospel. Persistence in the matter. Acts 14:19. Just come through. It says, They took this guy, they took Paul off, they beat him, they left him for dead. I wonder if he really wasn't dead at that time, because when you read about in 2 Corinthians, whether in the spirit, out of the spirit, I cannot, in the body, out of the body, I cannot tell if that might have been the time. And I'd probably have to go back and check my history to give you the time frame of that. But since they left him for dead, and guess what he did? You go up a couple more verses, and where does he go? Goes out preaching. What does it take? Peter was beaten and came out starting. Then we just beat you a couple days and he started preaching again. You have to be persistent. You're going to be persecuted. Get used to it. Somebody's going to try you for what you believe. Get used to it. But the key to it is how persistent are you? You know, I remember being told something one time and I had a little problem with it, so I started reading the word. I remember one time a guy got to preaching something and it just didn't sound right. Now, I tell you what I don't have. My memorization, and I can't apologize, it's kind of the way God gave me. I wish I had a great memory. You can tell me your name and 5 minutes later I'll forget it. But 50 years from now, you'll be walking down the street and I'll remember, oh, Kendrick? Yeah, I remember you back. Boy, what you doing now? I've had people walk up to me 5 years later. I didn't remember that word, their name, 5 minutes later. But 5 years later, I walked into this person. Jesse, yeah, man, you the guy that got me to look at the job at AT. How you doing, man? Hadn't seen him in years. Couldn't remember his name. I'm working there with him. 5 years later, 8 years later, I see him. I don't have instant memorization. But what I do have, God has given me, is if you start talking about something and you're in the Word, in a couple seconds, I know where you are. You ain't got to tell me. I can figure it out. To me, I would call that my gift. I wish I had this. I wish I could remember every name of everybody I talked to. I'll look at that guy with them glasses, that strange-looking guy with the pretty woman sitting across from him. One, two, three, four. Fifth row, what's his name? That guy. Okay? I look at him and forget his name. A couple years later, I remember that. You know his name is John, right? And in the terms of the hood, that's my dog. That's my brother. You know, but you'll do that. But we'll get to talking about the word. And I can remember because what has happened is I'm persistent in my study of the word. I shared with the kids today, I figured out if you read 10 chapters a day during the summer, that's 920 chapters. There's 930 chapters in the Old Testament. There's 259 in the New. You could be done the Bible in 4 months. And you could start over. And guess what? Every time you start over, you learn something new. But back to Paul. He was persistent and he stayed at it. So the first P is persecution. It's always going to happen. If you live long enough for Jesus, you will be persecuted. You stand in the pulpit long enough, you will be persecuted. What was it, last summer somebody slammed our folks in the paper because they went out to the neighborhood and shared the gospel? That's going to happen. That's part of this work called the gospel. And it's not just the guys who stand here and preach. It's the folks who go out and share the word. For lack of a better word, the laymen. It's going to happen. But you've got to be persistent. So he was persecuted. He was persistent. And guess what he just kept on doing? He just kept preaching. What? Preach, Paul. He told Timothy, preach. Be instant in season. Be in season. Just keep on preaching. Well, what did he preach? Well, let me read a little snippet of one of his sermons. It's going to be a few verses, so if you have enough patience to listen to me, do so. Start at verse 17 of chapter 13. Here's Paul. He's at Antioch of Pisidia, and he's standing. And at verse 17, he starts to deliver a sermon. He says, "The God of this people of Israel chose our fathers and exalted the people when they dwelt as strangers in the land of Egypt, and with a high arm brought them out of it." So what he's doing is he's going back and he's laying out the history to these folks here. "And about the time of 40 years suffered he their manners in the wilderness, and when he had destroyed seven nations in the land of Canaan, he divided their land to them by lot. And after that he gave them unto the judges about the space of 400 years and 50 years. He didn't leave anything out, because what he understood in teaching to this group of people, if he did not give them the history, they wouldn't understand what he's talking about, because there was a block. Sometimes God allows a block to be in the way so that you will get time to absorb what it is that he needs to do. So Paul goes and says that afterward they desired a king. It wasn't enough that God had taken them through the wilderness for 40 years. Their shoes didn't wear out. Their clothes didn't wear out. I sure hope they had some deodorant, because all of that stuff floating out in the desert. You know, none of that. And they got across the land, you know, boom, and they laid out, all the old folk died, all the young folk came across. Okay? Takes them across the Red Sea on dry land, feeds them bread from heaven, says to the wind, "Deliver quail." Have we had quail before, honey? Some little bird we had. I mean, it's great on the grill. You put it on, you cut it in half, you season it, and you slow roast it on the grill, and then you eat, because one of them is a meal. Little bitty bird, I mean, you know, but he did all of this, but it wasn't enough. Then he turns around, takes them across the Red Sea, and he goes, he gives them the land that he took from other folk, because he promised to Abraham. And at the time he promised it to Abraham, Abraham had no kids. Think about it. Here's Abraham, got no kids. 80 years old, still got no kids. But God said, "Your seed is going to be as the sand of the sea." Abraham still got no kids. At 86, Abraham makes a mistake. He does what his wife said. Don't get that wrong. Doing what your wife says, God. He did what his wife says, goes into Hagar, has a kid, and has been trouble in the Middle East ever since. 99 years old. Abe walking, I'm sure he wasn't walking too straight, because it says as time got on, they got age a little bit faster. And the angel comes by, and the angel of the Lord Jesus comes to visit Abraham. Guess what? About this time next year, boy, y'all going to have a child. Sarah sitting back in the tent, she 89. And she starts to laugh. Well, 9 months later, guess who comes along? Laughter. Imagine that, 99. You got to understand Sarah's mentality on this thing. Here she is saying, "You mean at this age I am going to nurse a child? What's she got, powdered milk?" But 90 years old, she got a boy, and the promise keeps going on. And so Paul just keeps walking around the history, and he goes on, and he works his way up to John. He says, "And John fulfilled this course. He said, 'Whom think ye that I am? I'm not he, but behold, there comes one after me whose shoes of his feet I am not worthy to loose. Men and brethren, children of the stock of Abraham, whoever among you fear of God, to you is the word of this salvation.'" And he goes on and he shares the message. What's the message? That Jesus Christ lived, that Jesus Christ died, that Jesus Christ rose again. Why? So that you might have eternal life. This same Jesus, the one that you guys put up on the cross, the guy who walked through town healing folk, He raised folks from the dead. Lazarus, they had a conspiracy after Lazarus. They wanted to get rid of Lazarus. Raised folks from the dead. He made the blind see. He made the lame walk. He even came into town riding on a donkey's coat, just like scripture said, and you didn't believe it. 1 week, they was putting palm trees out in front of him. By the middle of the week, they was crucifying him. The same Jesus. And you thought he was dead, folks. But guess what? After 3 days, he got up. Now, you know that got the religious folk riled up. You mean, don't nobody come back from the dead? Now, I remember one time I had a discussion with the Pharisees and the Sadducees because one group believed in resurrection, one didn't. And that started a little bit of an uproar. But Jesus got up from the dead, and after 3 days, he rose so that you might not only have life, but eternal life. Paul continued to preach that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He is a God that heals. He is a God that delivers. He is a God that saves. John summed it up. He said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believed in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Paul comes back and says, you know, I want to give it to the Jews first, but you rejected God. Send me to the Gentiles. But he still goes back and his heart is still out to the Jewish people. See, through everything he went through, everything came back to one thing. It is the preaching of the gospel. It is the it's not song services in the evening. It's not let's have a debate. It's not the guy, I'm sorry, TV guys, they're okay, but you know what? The Bible calls for us to be at a house of worship on Sunday. Hebrews 10 says that we should not forsake the gathering together of the saints as a man of some is. And some folk forsake that, and well, I'm going to sit on TV and I'm going to look at this guy. No, you need to be in the house of worship. Because if you're in the house of worship and you think you're struggling, guess what? There's another 100 people going through the same struggle. There's a unity in the community of God when we sit down and realize that we're in this together. And Paul continued to preach the gospel message. Well, let me give that gospel again. Let's go to Romans and let's look at what the gospel is. Romans chapter 10. Verse 9, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And the scripture saith, whoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be what? Shall be saved. That is the message. And that is the message that Paul went through all these different places. Matter of fact, he was stoned at Iconium and came back. They stoned the guy and he came back, and he came back preaching. They put him in chains, had him in Rome in jail. What did he do? He preached. Had the guy in chains. He was a prisoner in chains. And what did he do? He preached. He sent letters out to Timothy. This is how you set the church up to Titus. This is how you deal with the young men and old women to Corinth. Look, y'all, I'm not acting right, so I want to make sure I get you right. This is how you deal with this situation. He was writing letters, wrote a letter to Ephesus. Look, you got to get this right. You got to get this issue of salvation right, ownership right. You got to learn how to walk. He continually did his inchain. He continued to preach the gospel. There is a madness. Because that's just not normal. Normally says if you're persecuted, you get out of the way. Normally says you don't say that, you get out of the situation. But he just kept going, continually going from one city to another, continued to be persecuted, continued to be persistent. He continued to preach the gospel. That is a pattern of a man that has a passion for the madness of the preaching of the gospel. You will be persecuted. You will be troubled. You will have struggles on every side. But you know what? You keep it up. Because if you keep it up, God will honor what he said he would do. Keep sharing the gospel. Keep sharing it. It doesn't mean you got to be in a pulpit to do it. You can be a little kid. You learn about Jesus Christ and you go share with your neighbor. That is the preaching of the gospel. A passion for the madness. And the question you have to ask yourself is, do you have that passion? If you have that passion, keep it up. In order to get that passion, you got to know somebody. The songwriter says his name is Jesus. He's the one, the only one. If you don't know Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, I want you to come up here and come up to the altar. If you don't know Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, and then we'll have a person come sit with you who knows Christ, and we will explain the gospel to you so that you might come to salvation. If you don't know Jesus, the time to come, there is no tomorrow. It's right now. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the privilege of sharing the gospel. In Isaiah 55, you talk about how the rain comes down from the heaven and how everything is laid out. And you also talk about, you said that your word will not return to you void. And Lord, we pray this day that your word will not return to you void. You know who needs salvation. You know who needs encouragement. You know who needs healing. You know all our needs. So, Lord, we ask that you would address those needs, but most importantly, Lord, that we would ask that you would address the need for salvation. Lord, we thank you for the opportunity to share your word. We continue to lift up your saints in prayer. We pray for continued persistence in studying the word and delivering the word. Lord, we know that one day this will all be over. We don't see a full picture of it right now, but in that day, we'll see what's in the end game. We'll see the beauty of the work that you've had us do and that you've done. And we'll get to praise you around the throne. But again, we just want to thank you. And we ask these blessings in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.